السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا. ذرية من حملنا مع نوح إنه كان عبدا شكورا. وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا. فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا. ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا. إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها. فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة ليسوءوا وجوهكم وليدخلوا المسجد كما دخلوه أول مرة وليتبروا ما علوا تتبيرا. عسى ربكم أن يرحمكم وإن عدتم عدنا. وجعلنا جهنم للكافرين حصيرا. إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما. صدق الله العظيم.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. This is a munajat, a dua in poetry form. It has a zikr of illallah. We should all recite the zikr. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
گناہوں پہ ہوں شرمندہ الہی در گزر کر دے. برا مجرم ہوں میں تیرا الہی در گزر کر دے. اللہ 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 اللہ. خطا کوئی نہیں چھوڑی کبھی عصیان نہیں چھوڑا. خطا کوئی نہیں چھوڑی کبھی عصیان نہیں چھوڑا. بس اب کرتا ہوں میں توبہ الہی در گزر کر دے. کھلونا ہاتھ کا اپنا بنا رکھا ہے شیطان نے. کھلونا ہاتھ کا اپنا بنا رکھا ہے شیطان نے. بنا لے اپنا تو بندہ الہی در گزر کر دے. اللہ 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 اللہ. تیرے دینے سے اے مولا تیرا تو کچھ نہ بگڑے گا. تیرے دینے سے اے مولا تیرا تو کچھ نہ بگڑے گا. مگر بن جائے گا میرا الہی در گزر کر دے. اگر مجھ پر تیری رحمت نہ ہو ایک پل خداوندا. اگر مجھ پر تیری رحمت نہ ہو ایک پل خداوندا تو ہو جاؤں گا میں رسوا الہی در گزر کر دے. اللہ 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 اللہ. خطائے یاد کر کے آج میں آنسو بہاتا ہوں. خطائے یاد کر کے آج میں آنسو بہاتا ہوں. تو رحمت کا بہا دریا الہی در گزر کر دے بھکاری بن کے آیا ہوں تو اپنے در سے اے داتا بھکاری بن کے آیا ہوں تو اپنے در سے اے داتا مجھے خالی نہیں لوتا الہی در گزر کر دے الا اللہ 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 وہ جس پہ چل کے بندوں نے تیرا انعام پایا ہے وہ جس پہ چل کے بندوں نے تیرا انعام پایا ہے دکھا مجھ کو بھی وہ رستا الہی در گزر کر دے سنور جائے میری دنیا سنور جائے میری عقبا سنور جائے میری دنیا سنور جائے میری عقبا جو ہو جائے کرم تیرا الہی در گزر کر دے الا اللہ 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 الا اللہ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين فمن أقامها فقد أقام الدين ومن هدمها فقد هدم الدين أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us all recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abada ala Habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi amma ba'd. Ulama'i kiram, Hufaz of the Holy Quran, respected elders, dear brothers, our beloved children, mothers and sisters who are listening on the receivers and all who are listening on the audio streaming platforms. Alhamdulillah, we have congregated tonight to commemorate a very important aspect of the life of our beloved master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the aspect of his Mi'raj, the Isra and Mi'raj, which is really a very great miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also at the same time to discuss the importance and significance of Salah in Islam, and also to talk about Masjidul Aqsa and the lands around Masjidul Aqsa and what is happening there today and what is our duty and responsibility to Masjidul Aqsa. These are the important aspects that need to be discussed. So inshallah, we will try to focus on all of these aspects. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this amazing miracle and this amazing journey of His beloved in the Holy Quran, the very beginning of the 15 juz of the Holy Quran, the beginning of Surah Isra, this Surah Bani Israel, this verse, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam minal masjidil harami ilal masjidil aqsa. Every single word of the Quran has great weight and significance and importance and meaning attached to it. There's no word that is random in the Quran. There's no word that is redundant in the Quran. There's nothing that just comes by chance in the Quran. Every single word is deliberately brought there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is loaded with very deep meanings and connotations. And in this ayat also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the ayat with the word subhan, glorified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is indicative of something very, very unusual and something very fascinating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make mention of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off and commences with the words of subhan. Subhanalladhi, glorified is that Allah who, subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, He took His servant, bi'abdihi, refers to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is calling him His abd. Allah is referring to him as His servant. And this is the highest accolade for any servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah must say, this is my servant. Therefore, in the adhan also, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. We always refer to him as the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perfect servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the greatest honor that has been accorded to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him as His abd and Allah refers to him as His servants. May Allah make us also His true servants. If we can be called and Allah can call us as, oh my servant, then that is the height of our glory and that is the height of achievement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He took His servant on a night journey, Asra. Isra refers to a journey at night. He took him on a night journey. He took His servant on a night journey. The servant refers to a person in body and soul, all inclusive. That is a servant. So the words of this
ayat indicate that the Mi'raj, the Isra and Mi'raj, was not just a dream, as some people try to pass it off, and they try to explain it away, that no, it was just a dream. No, it was not just a dream. It was a physical experience. It was a physical journey with body and soul. It was not just a dream. If it was a dream, then anyone can have a dream. Then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to it with such words of amazement in this ayat that we see? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have said, bi abdihi, he took his servant with him, or he took his servant on this journey. He wouldn't have referred to him as a, because it's just a person who saw a dream. So this negates this idea that certain people try to dismiss this concept of the Isra and Mi'raj as if it was just a dream. It was not a dream. It was an experience, a physical experience with body and soul. This is why it is such an amazing aspect of the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is considered amongst his greatest, amongst the greatest of his mu'jizat and the greatest of his miracles after the Holy Quran. After the Holy Quran, the second greatest mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the journey of Mi'raj. Because it's not just one miracle, but it is a combination of multiple miracles in one single journey, in one single night that were manifested on this occasion. So therefore, this was a physical journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates to it by the words of this ayat, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan, and part of a night, in just a part of the night, not the whole night. It's not the whole night. It was just in one part of the night that this entire journey took place. Min al-masjidil harami, from masjidul haram ila al-masjidil aqsa, to Masjidul Aqsa, alladhi barakna hawlahu. And we, Allah says that we are the ones who placed immense barakah and blessings around Masjidul Aqsa and the surrounds of Masjidul Aqsa. We have placed immense blessings and barakah there. Alladhi barakna hawlahu. And why did we take him on this journey? Linuriyahu min ayatina, so that we can show him from our amazing signs, and we can demonstrate to him and we can display to him our amazing signs. So if it was just meant to be a dream, then there's no need to say that could have been a person just saw in a dream. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show him the amazing mysteries of the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show him the Arsh and the Kursi and the Lawhul Mahfuz and the Sidratul Muntaha and the Baytul Ma'mur and the seven heavens and Jannah and Jahannam and all the secrets and all the mysteries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show all of this to his beloved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him on this journey. Innahu huwa Sami'ul Basir. So, this is a very, very amazing chapter in the life of beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is a means of enhancing our love and our admiration and our awe for beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that look at what Allah blessed him with, that all the Anbiya alayhimus salam acknowledged his imamat, and they acknowledged his leadership on this one night, and he was established firmly as Imamul Anbiya and Sayyidul Mursaleen on this night. It can only fill our hearts with love, admiration, awe, and appreciation for who our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, and how fortunate we are to be part of his ummah and to be his followers. What a blessing. How fortunate we are that Allah made us to be from his ummah he was the greatest of the great, that even the Anbiya alayhi salam wished to be in his ummah, but Allah chose us to be his ummah. How fortunate we are that we are part of that ummah. If only we understand and realize what is our status and our position, then that alone would spur us on and encourage us to become better ummatis and better followers, and people will not bring embarrassment and shame to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. So we find now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him on this night journey. Now I deliberately left out the whole background to why the Mi'raj, Isra and Mi'raj took place, because that's a very long discussion. The year of grief, the demise of his beloved wife Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, buried in Jannatul Mu'alla. His uncle Abu Talib passing away without iman. The rejection from the people of Taif. These were all very, very heartbreaking incidents that really weighed heavily on his Mubarak heart. And this year was called Amul Huzn, the year of grief and sorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to lighten that grief and that sorrow. When Allah puts you through a test, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Whenever you go through a tough patch, Allah brings an easy patch. Whenever you go through difficulties, Allah brings ease and relief and comfort. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this night, that yes, you have gone through all what you went through, but look now what glories are going to come after this. And then Allah gave him that night that he was sleeping in the house of Umme Hani, his cousin, whose actual name was Fakhita binti Abu Talib. She was the daughter of Abu Talib, the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was resting in her house, which was somewhere in Sha'b Abi Talib, the valley of Abu Talib. And suddenly the roof of the house opened up in his sleep. Now that already was a sign of some very big thing that's going to happen. And then the angels come inside, and then he's led out from, carried from the house by Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam, and they take him straight to the Hatim, and they place him inside the Hatim. And as we all know, Hatim, at least the part that is closer to the Kaaba, not the whole Hatim, but the part that is closer to the Kaaba, about two or three safs, is included inside Kaaba. Therefore, if a person read Salah in the Hatim, especially the front part of the Hatim, it is as though he has read Salah inside the Kaaba, without having to open the door of Kaaba, without having to go inside the actual building of Kaaba. Reading in the Hatim is the equivalent of having read inside the Kaaba. So he was taken and placed inside the Hatim, as if he was placed inside the Kaaba, the Baytullah. And the operation, the open heart surgery, was performed on our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the great angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who accompanied him on this journey, Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam. And his chest was split open from the top to the bottom, and his Mubarak heart was removed, and it was washed with the waters of Zamzam, with the water of Zamzam. The ulama say that this is an indication of the superiority of the water of Zamzam, because if Allah willed, he could have sent the waters of Jannat, and the waters of Hawz Kawthar could have come down. But Allah chose the water of Zamzam to wash the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his heart was washed clean with the water of Zamzam. And then they came with a golden container which contained iman and hikmah. Iman and hikmah was in the golden container, and that was brought by the malaika from the sky. And that iman and hikmah was poured into the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama give long explanation. One is that it was like a kind of a gemstones of Iman and Hikmah, and those gemstones were placed inside his Mubarak heart, and so that it will prepare his heart for the magnitude of the experience that he was going to have that night. His heart had to be prepared, because imagine traveling through space at such a speed. You know, they talk now of G-forces. G-force is a scientific term, that if you travel through, space at a very great speed, then there are certain forces on your body. And if the speed is too high, it can cause your body to basically disintegrate or even to collapse. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept his body intact beyond all of that. And the places that he went to, where Jibreel alayhi salam could not even set foot, he went beyond those points. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared his heart for that amazing experience. And so, they washed his heart. They put Iman and Hikmah. Those gemstones of Iman and Hikmah were placed in his Mubarak heart. And then his heart was closed, sealed and sewed again. And then they told him, come, let us go. And in the meantime, the conveyance was already brought there, which was the Buraq, white, like milk, with two wings, and slightly smaller than a horse, bigger than a donkey, the size of a mule. And the Buraq was brought, the Buraq was prancing around in nervousness, that who is it going to be carrying on its back? And Jibreel alayhi salam had to reprimand it, that behave yourself, know who you are carrying tonight. And the Buraq calmed down. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, according to one narration, rode behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and one narration says that he held the reins, and Mikail alayhi salam held the stirrups, and they took Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this nightly journey. There are two legs of the journey. The first leg of the journey is called Isra. That is from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa. And the distance between Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa is 1,238 kilometers. 1,238 kilometers in a straight line from south to north. In a straight line, 1,238 kilometers is the journey. And they took him in on that conveyance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that conveyance. Buraq, by the way, was also the conveyance of other Anbiya alayhimus salam. Previously, they also used to ride on Buraq, and the Buraq traveled at lightning speed. These are all parts of the mu'jizas and miracles of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The open heart surgery, and the placing of Iman and Hikmah, and the ride on the Buraq. And then, you know, wherever the eye fell, that was the step of the Buraq, at what speed he traveled. And now as he was traveling and he was on this journey, then Jibreel alayhi salam made him stop at one place on route. He stopped at one place, and there were a lot of date palms there, and he made him stop there, and he said, read two rakats here. So he got off and he read two rakats, and he told him, this place is Medina. It was obviously not called Medina that time. So it was called Yathrib, which is the original name, but later on to become Medina. He said, this is Yathrib, this is the place of your hijrah. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam read two rakats there. And then he said, come, let us go. And he continued. And then they stopped at the Tur Sina, the Mount of Musa alayhi salam, where the Tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was witnessed in Sinai desert. And he said, get off. And they read two rakats there. Then they carried on, and they came to the white sands of Madian, which was the land of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And they read two rakats there. And then they continued, and they stopped at another place, which was Beit Laham or Bethlehem, which was the place of Isa alayhi salam. And then from there, they arrived at Masjidul Aqsa. On the way, three people tried to address them or speak to them. One old woman called out to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to draw his attention, and Jibreel alayhi wa sallam said, ignore, and he ignored and they carried on. Then an old man again tried to draw his attention. Jibreel alayhi wa sallam told him, ignore, and he ignored and they carried on. Then three distinguished gentlemen, people, greeted him and they said that, greetings to you, Ya Awwal, wa Ya Akhir, wa Ya Hashir. Three names they called him, three very distinguished personalities, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted them, and then he arrived at Masjid al-Aqsa. Now who were this? These three people? Let me leave it for a little later. Remind me. I'll come back to it, inshallah. We're looking at time and trying to see, inshallah, how we can manage to do as much as possible, to cover as much as possible of this amazing journey. They come to Masjid al-Aqsa, get off. Jibreel alayhi salam, with the help of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they tie the buraq to that hole in a little hole in the wall, and it is tied there, and that is where the buraq used to be tied, even by the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, and till today, that wall is called Ha'itul Buraq, the wall of the buraq. Till today it is referred to by that name. They get off, they enter the masjid, they read 2 rakat salah in the masjid. This was Tahiyyatul Masjid. And then they see the crowd starting to build up in the masjid, and many, many, many people coming into the masjid. And then azan is called out, and then the iqama is called out, and the masjid is packed to capacity, and the masjid is absolutely filled with people to read salah. And now after the iqama is called out, the congregation, the lines have formed, the congregation is ready for the salah. But now who is going to lead this gathering in the salah? That is when Jibreel alayhi salam held his hand and led him to the front and put him on the musalla of the imam and told him, you lead this congregation. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led this congregation, and he read salah for this congregation. And thereafter the salah was over, and Jibreel alayhi salam addressed him and told him, do you know who you led in salah? You led every Nabi that came in this world, every one of them were present, and you were made the imam of every one of them. And not only that, the malaika also were present, and they also came to read salah behind you tonight. And this was the great honor and rank and position and status that was accorded to beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this night. Thereafter Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt thirsty, and some drinks were offered to him. And so there was a drink of wine, and there was a drink of water, and there was a drink of honey, and there was a drink of milk. These cups were presented to him. Different drinks were presented to him, and he was told, choose one, whichever one. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the milk over the wine, the water and the honey. And Jibreel alayhi salam told him that, alhamdulillah, you have chosen the best drink. This will ensure that your ummah will remain on the natural path, and they will remain on the path of fitrah. Had you chosen the wine, your ummah would have gone astray. Had you chosen the water, your ummah would have drowned in the world. But you chose the best drink. You chose the milk, which is the drink of the natural drink of the fitrah. Your ummah will remain on the fitrah. These beautiful choices of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have helped us as the ummah. And today we are who we are because of his beautiful, you know, decisions on behalf of his ummah. So now we find that Jibreel alayhi salam says, come, the journey is still not over. We are continuing on our journey now. And they come to the place which is called today the Dome of the Rock. There's a massive rock there. And Abdul Malik bin Marwan built this Dome of the Rock. And he built this dome over the structure which is those who have gone to Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah take us all. May Allah take us all with acceptance and grant us to reach Salah in that masjid that our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Imam of that masjid. May Allah take us all to Masjid al-Aqsa. And let us reach Salah there. And let us see the beauty of this markaz of Islam. And by the way, my dear brothers, before I forget, I want to raise one single point here. But let me just quickly get to the point of this Dome of the Rock. Abdul Malik bin Marwan had this dome constructed, golden dome, over the rock. It is from this rock that he went on further onto the journey of Mi'raj. So the two parts of the journey, Isra, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and Mi'raj, from Masjid al-Aqsa to the seven heavens and beyond. So now, they built this Dome of the Rock to sort of preserve this rock. It's one of the most beautiful structures in the world, by the way. And it's a landmark of Islam. Abdul Malik bin Marwan had it constructed, and later on, the great Ottoman king, Suleiman the Magnificent, had the whole Surah Yasin inscribed on this Dome of the Rock. So there it stands till today as a monument and legacy of the attachment of the Muslims to Masjid al-Aqsa. And this is the point that I want to come to. That is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make this journey in two legs instead of one single leg? If Allah ta'ala wished, he could have gone straight from Kaaba to the seven heavens and beyond. It was possible. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split this journey into two sections. He made him go from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa first, and then from Masjid al-Aqsa beyond. So the significance of this is very, very great. And let us try to understand and absorb the significance of this. That is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to establish the authority and leadership of this Nabi and his Ummah over Masjid al-Aqsa. Because now all the other nations had lost the moral authority to control, to have control over Masjid al-Aqsa. The Ahlul Kitab of the past, who were the custodians there, they lost the moral authority because they had forsaken the belief in Allah. They had forsaken Iman. They had forsaken the true submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in belief and action. So they had lost their authority of control over Masjid al-Aqsa. And now it is the people of Islam, the Ahlul Quran, the people of the Quran, the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that were given the authority over Masjid al-Aqsa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his beloved Nabi to establish his imamat and his authority over Masjid al-Aqsa. And that the Ummah will continue with that as long as they are on the way of the Nabi and the way of his teachings, Allah will give them their control over Masjid al-Aqsa. So there's two points here. One is the establishing of the authority of this Ummah over Masjid al-Aqsa. We are the rightful owners of Masjid al-Aqsa. We are the rightful authorities over Masjid al-Aqsa. There is nobody else in this world that has the legitimacy of the control of Masjid al-Aqsa as this Ummah has. And second point is that till we remain loyal to the teachings of Islam, Quran and Sunnah, our hold and our authority and grip over Masjid al-Aqsa will remain. And the day when we lose our allegiance and loyalty to Allah and Allah's Rasul and Allah's commands and Allah and the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away Masjid al-Aqsa from us. And that is what happened in the year 1099. The year 1099, the Crusaders came, and in a period of 5 weeks, they overran the whole Masjid al-Aqsa, and the Muslims lost control over Masjid al-Aqsa after so many hundreds of years of rulership, because their relationship with Islam and their connection with Quran and Sunnah became weak. The Masjid al-Aqsa is the criterion to determine the strength and weakness of this ummah. The barometer of the weakness and strength of this ummah is Masjid al-Aqsa. And so we find that when we lost that, then Allah took it away, and the Crusaders ruled over Masjid al-Aqsa for 88 years. Until in the year 1187, Allah sent a great man of this ummah, Salahuddin Ayyubi, and it was on the 27th night of Rajab. It was on the 27th night of Rajab that Salahuddin Ayyubi entered victoriously after almost 90 years of the rule of the Crusaders. He entered victoriously with the Muslims into Masjid al-Aqsa, and after that lengthy period of time, Azan was called out, and Masjid al-Aqsa was cleansed and washed and purified, and the minbar of Nuruddin Zangi, which he had built in anticipation of this great day, was brought and placed in Masjid al-Aqsa, and it was a moment of glory and celebration for the Ummah. For hundreds of years it carried on like that, until the weakness set in again. And then in 1948, once again, we lost our control over Masjid al-Aqsa in a real sense. There is a symbolic relationship of control of by, you know, the Hashimi Waqf and so on. But in reality, we know that the Muslims have lost that control. And may Allah bring the full and total control back to the Ummah. When we go back to Quran and Sunnah, Allah will bring Masjid al-Aqsa back to the Muslim Ummah. Till we don't reach that day, then that is not going to happen. Nevertheless, let us continue. So now, Jibreel alayhi salam tells him that we are going to continue with this journey. And so what happens is, a conveyance is brought. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it as one of the most beautiful things that he had seen. It is like a step ladder and like a lift, you could say, almost like an elevator. Like an elevator. And he says that this is the very thing that transports the ruh and the souls of the mu'mineen when they pass away and they leave this world. How does their ruh go up to the Arsh of Allah? It goes up in this very conveyance, in this very what you could call vehicle, that is this beautiful vehicle, very beautiful. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it, and it takes, and some ulama refer to it as rafraf. It is called the rafraf. One side is the buraq and the other side is the rafraf. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was transported at lightning speed in the rafraf, and he reached the first sky, and then there was permission that was sought, and then they were allowed to enter, and there he meets, on the first sky he meets Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam greets him that marhaban bil ibn salih wal nabi salih. I'm cutting out a lot of details because the details are too much to cover in one evening. And then he goes to the second heaven, and there he meets Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, and they greet him marhaban bil akhi salih wan nabi salih. And then the third heaven, he meets Yusuf alayhi salam, and he describes the beauty of, a lot of conversations take place, but we are leaving all of that out. Then he goes to the fourth heaven, and he meets Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, And in the fifth heaven, he meets Hazrat Musa, Harun alayhi salam, and he describes him as a very dignified person with white hair and a white beard. And then he goes on to the sixth heaven, and there he meets Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Karim salam describes every Nabi. He gives the description even of the complexion and the appearance of Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, but we're cutting out the details. And then he comes to the seventh heaven, and that is where he meets a personality that he says that he was astonished at the striking resemblance of this personality with himself, and that was none other than his own forefather and his progenitor, none other than Khalilullah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he greets him marhaban bil ibn salih wal nabi salih. And the conversation takes place, and in that conversation Ibrahim alayhi salam says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam that convey my salam to your ummah. So we must reply and say ala nabiyina wa ala Ibrahim alayhi salam. May salam be upon our Nabi, and may Allah salam be upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. He must reply to the salam. And he said, give your ummah the message that Jannah is an empty, fertile land that it needs to be populated by the zikr of Allah. So if they read Subhanallah, we all read together, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If they read this, Allah will plant for them trees in their Jannah. And like we will say in this day and age, landscaping of their Jannah will take place. They'll landscape their Jannah. You know, everybody wants landscaping today. It must look nice outside, and beautiful gardens and all of that. So we can landscape, and then the palaces of Jannah. Surah Ikhlas, 10 times we read, one palace in Jannah. And so, Subhanallah, gharsun fil Jannah. Alhamdulillah, gharsun fil Jannah. La ilaha illallah, gharsun fil Jannah. Allahu Akbar, gharsun fil Jannah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, kanzum min kunuzil Jannah. All of these things have been mentioned. So therefore, we must populate our Jannah on the advice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to this ummah. Thereafter, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi salam is taken further. Now past the seven heavens. Now they come to a place that is called Sidratul Muntaha. The cedar tree is also called the lot tree. The most amazing creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam says the beauty of this tree is beyond description. It is full of light and amazing leaves, and the size of this tree is beyond imagination. And it is filled with butterflies that are made of pure gold, and millions of such butterflies. And malaika. And this is where the commands of Allah come down first to Sidratul Muntaha and then to the earth. And the amal go up first there and then up beyond. And this is Sidratul Muntaha. And this is the last point that any creation of Allah had gone to. Sidratul Muntaha is the line that could not be crossed by any of Allah's makhluk and creation. Sidratul Muntaha. Indaha Jannatul Ma'wa. In the proximity of Sidratul Muntaha is Jannatul Ma'wa. And its roots are in the sixth heaven, and its trunk and leaves and all of that is in the seventh heaven. And 4 rivers flow from Sidratul Muntaha. 2 rivers find their way into this world. The Nile River and the Euphrates River. Nile River in Egypt and Euphrates River in Iraq. These rivers flow from the Sidratul Muntaha. And there are 2 rivers that flow in Jannah. The river of Tasneem and the river of Rahma. These rivers flow in Jannah, and 2 rivers flow in this world. And the Sidratul Muntaha is the last line. Jibreel alayhi salam comes and stops there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, come on, come along with me, O Jibreel. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, this is the last line. No one crossed this line. If anyone crosses this line, even I, if I cross this line, I will be burned to ashes. Jibreel alayhi salam's size is beyond the seven skies and seven earths, and he's got 600 wings, and if he has to open it up, it will be covered, it will cover the whole east to west. But despite that, he says, I cannot go beyond this line. This is the last line. Anyone crosses this line will be burnt to ashes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited his beloved to go past Sidratul Muntaha. Allah. Allah Akbar. Our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes beyond Sidratul Muntaha. And he comes to a place where he can hear the pens are writing Sariful Qalam. He can hear the pens writing the takdeer, the sound of the pens that are writing in the background, the takdeer. He can hear the sound of those pens. And he is shown the wonders of Jannah, and he is shown Jahannam, and then he is shown the Arsh of Allah, and he says there's nothing more beautiful and amazing than the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the kursi, and the chair is brought for him. And in the close proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam is known to be Kalimullah, the one who spoke to Allah. But our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam is even greater than Musa alayhi salam. Hence, he also had conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only did he have conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he also had the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ra'aytu Rabbi, I saw my Rabb. Now obviously there's a lot of discussion in the ulama on the subject matter of how he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is it possible for people to see. But it is our view that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was honored with a vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him three beautiful gifts for himself and for his ummah. For his ummah. For us, Allah sent three gifts down on this night. Allah sent, azan is at 35. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down three gifts. Three gifts. The first gift, as we all know, is the gift of the salas. The second gift is the Khawatimul Baqarah, the last two ayats of Suratul Baqarah, starting from Amana Rasulu till the end of Suratul Baqarah. This was a special gift given to him on this night. And the third gift that was given to him is the guarantee of forgiveness of his ummah, no matter how sinful they are, as long as they don't indulge in shirk and kufr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive even the big sinners of this ummah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Allah ta'ala gave him these gifts and his conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he's returning and coming back, and on the way, on the sixth heaven, he meets up with Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and the conversation takes place between him and Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says to him that, what did Allah give you? He says, Allah Ta'ala gave me 50 salas. He said, O Muhammad, I have experience with the Bani Israel. Go back and ask Allah Ta'ala to reduce it, because it is too much, and your ummah is not going to manage. So, just on a lighter note, there was one president of Pakistan, Bhutto, and there was a very great alim, who was also a very great politician, Mufti Mahmood Saab, Rahmatullah Alif, Pakistan, and they were political rivals. Bhutto and Maulana Mufti Mahmood Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali. So one day on a lighter moment, a discussion of Miraj came up, and then Bhutto told Mufti Mahmood Sahab that I don't know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, reduced that 50 salahs, and why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for the reduction, should have left it 50. So Mufti Mahmood Sahab told him, have some shame in you, you don't even read one, and you saying Allah should have reduced it, shouldn't have reduced it. So he said, Mufti Sahab, the reason I'm saying is not for me, it's for you. Because if there was 50 salah, you should have been the whole day and night reading salah, I should have carried on with my politics. But now you are fighting me in politics, because you got enough time to fight against me. If you were reading your 50 salahs, I would have been busy, I wouldn't have had to fight you in an election. But that's on a lighter note. Nevertheless, the 50 salahs were ordained. Musa alayhi salam told him, no, go back, ask Allah to reduce. And so, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back, and Allah ta'ala reduced it, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, until 5 was left. Now he comes back. Musa alayhi salam tells him, you know what, this five also is too much. Bani Israel couldn't manage 2. Go back and ask Allah to reduce it. He said, no, I feel too embarrassed to go back, and I have great hope and expectation of my ummah that they will read their 5 daily salah. What is the expectation of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us? And what is our response? And how do we react? And how do we fulfill his expectation? That is the question that must be in the mind of everyone. And if we are not doing our 5, then today and tonight is a night of decision making and resolution to say, Ya Allah, from now onwards, I will read my 5 daily salah, and I will not miss a single salah. All say inshaAllah. All say inshaAllah. InshaAllah. May Allah accept our intention. My dear brothers, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes down. He comes back to Masjidul Aqsa, and then he gets back onto the Buraq, and he's back in Makkah Mukarrama. On the way, he passes a caravan of the Quraysh, and he sees the happenings, and then he arrives in Makkah Mukarrama, and it is said that this journey was so short, according to some ulama, that the bed in which he was sleeping was still warm by the time he returned. Nevertheless, it means that it was a very short. Allah, you know, condensed the time, because time is in Allah's control. Allah can stretch the time, and Allah can condense the time. He is the owner of time, and he is the creator of time. So what is time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns. Now at Fajr time, he tells Hani about his experience and amazing thing. And she says to him, begging him that, O Nabi, don't go and tell the people of Makkah. Because if you're going to tell them, they will never stop mocking you. And they will never stop taunting and jeering at you, because they will find a propaganda point against you, and they will carry on with their mocking and jeering. Don't tell them. But he says, Hani, I have to tell them, because this is an amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have to convey. So after Fajr in the morning, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets the people of Quraysh, and he tells them about their experience, and they start clapping hands, and they start their mockery and jeering, and they run around the whole of Makkah. Propaganda is spreading like wildfire. You heard. Now what he's saying? Now he's saying he went to 1 month's journey. He finished in less than 1 night, and the mockery started. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was firm and strong. And they go to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and they said to him, you heard what your friend is saying? Can you believe it? In 1 night he went Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked them one question. He said, I only want to know one thing. Did he say it himself? Did he himself say it? He said, yeah, definitely he said it. No one else said it. He said, if he said it, I believe it with closed eyes. He said, what? You believe this? He said, I believe even greater than this. I believe when he says that Jibreel alayhi salam is coming with lightning speed from the arsh of Allah to the earth so many times in a day and he's bringing wahi, I believe in that. So what is this much lesser? Allahu Akbar. They were dumbstruck with the reply of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, and this is conveyed to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the occasion when he is given the title of Siddiq. He is called Siddiq, the one, the most truthful one, and the one who attested to the truthfulness of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now the propaganda carries on, but those, now they said, no, we must pursue it. So they come to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they say, we want to ask you some questions. Tell us about Masjid al-Aqsa. Give us the details. How many doors? How many pillars? And so on. Now obviously Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam had not gone there with the intention of counting all that and looking at the physical features. So he was concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the whole image of Masjid al-Aqsa in front of him, and he gave them graphic details, and they were dumbstruck. But some of them said, no, we want more proof. He said, okay, the proof is the caravan of the Quraysh is coming from Syria, the trade caravan. They are 3 days away from Makkah. They are being led by a grey color camel, and one camel ran away, and they went and looked for it, and they found it. When they come, ask them. When they came, they gave the true story, that exactly as Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Some brought iman, others refused even after all of this. My dear friends, then Jibreel alayhi salam came down, and Jibreel alayhi salam then practically demonstrated to him the salah, and he led him and showed him the times of salah. The first day he read the salah in the awwal waqt, the second day he read the salah in the last times, and he told him between these times is the times of salah, and the method of salah and all of that was demonstrated to him. And now in conclusion, I come to the part, we made intention on inshallah, we will read our 5 daily salah, we understand the importance of the salah, we understand it is a gift from Allah, we understand the expectation of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know the fazilat of salah, we know the virtue of salah. Let us pay a lot of attention to salah. If we have been neglecting salah as an ummah in the past, may Allah give us tawfiq to make tawbah, repent, and become very firm on our salah. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, Masjid al-Nur is being extended after many years. What is the purpose of the extension of the masjid if our musallis are not going to fill it? So obviously the masjid is being extended with the expectation and the anticipation that people are, or the whole community is going to become musallis, inshallah. Otherwise, we can build many masjids, but if the masjids are not going to be filled with musallis, what is going to happen to our masajid? Therefore, a concerted effort has to be made. Door-to-door effort, going around, inviting people, encouraging people to come for their salah. Encourage our family. وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Encourage our family to read salah. Encourage our children. مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ سَبْعِ سِنِينَ وَاضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَشَرُ سَنَوَاتٍ وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. The hadiths are stating, the ayats are stating the importance of encouraging our children. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَعْدِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. Ismail alayhi salam used to encourage and enforce the salah on his family. So we are the spiritual offspring of these great personalities. Let us make sure there's not a single person in our house who's not reading their salah. That much we are responsible for. And then try in our neighborhood that there isn't a single neighbor who is not reading salah. And then everyone collectively work on the entire community so that every single one in our community comes onto salah. May Allah give us tawfiq. The last point And this is a very, very important point that I want to focus on, is the Masjidul Aqsa and the current status of Masjidul Aqsa and the occupation of Masjidul Aqsa and the lands around Masjidul Aqsa and the devastation around the lands of Masjidul Aqsa and the destruction of Gaza and the killings and the massacres in the West Bank and the plight of the Muslim Ummah there and the difficulties they are going through and the suffering and whatever we all know. But now, the important thing is for this ummah to strengthen our relationship with Masjidul Aqsa. Number one, everyone should make an intention and save money and look at how to make a visit to Masjidul Aqsa. Also, inshallah. Make an intention to go. The people there eagerly await the Muslims from other parts of the world because it shows that we still have attachment to our Masjid al-Aqsa. They are trying to strangulate and strangle Masjid al-Aqsa, that Muslims must not get entry into Masjid al-Aqsa and they must not come to Masjid al-Aqsa. We have to show that we will continue going till Tahrir Masjid al-Aqsa, till the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, inshaAllah. And my dear friends, we must make a lot of dua for the preservation and protection of Masjid al-Aqsa. The evil plans and schemes and intentions is to destroy and demolish Masjid al-Aqsa. We as a ummah have to make a lot of dua for the preservation of Masjid al-Aqsa. And then we have to give our donations to the cause of Aqsa and the people around us, Aqsa. And then we have to keep ourselves educated about the significance and importance of Masjid al-Aqsa. MashaAllah, 40 ahadith have been compiled on the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa. Let us read those 40 ahadith. Read it to our children. Read it to our families. Let's talk about the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa. Discuss it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Maymuna radiallahu anha, Aftina fi Masjid al-Aqsa. And he said that huwa ardul mahshari wal manshar, and so on. The time is run out now to go into details. Educate ourselves on the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa. And then keep ourselves updated on the happenings there on a regular basis. And then whatever is possible within our means to put our effort and our struggle and our demonstrations against what is happening there to the best of our ability, let us do that. And last but not least, if we as an ummah change and we come back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim, we come back to Quran and Sunnah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will restore Aqsa to us. Wa akhiru da'wana أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ولانا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من قبضة اليهود اللهم احفظ المسجد الأقصى من مكايد اليهود والنصارى والأعداء يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا الصلاة في المسجد الأقصى بعد تحرير مسجد الأقصى اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك